Non, regarde, on va jouer dans ton parc. Regarde, que c'est qu'il y a? Pleure, hein? Pleure.
As first-generation French-Canadian mill workers turned to second and third generation, Franco-Americans outnumbered all immigrant groups in New Hampshire. And their presence is felt today. Even though it was Robert Perreault's grandfather that emigrated from French Canada, he still carries on many of his culture's traditions. He speaks fluent French, as does his son. Now they're passing that tradition on to his granddaughter. This impulse to preserve tradition has been pronounced among Franco-Americans. Other ethnic groups have come to New Hampshire and quickly tried to assimilate. Many of the French did not.
There was a socio-historic aspect to it. When England conquered French Canada, they told their conquered subjects, you will become Protestant and you will learn English. Well, that didn't work. They resisted. In fact, there was even a phenomenon known as la revanche du berceau, the revenge of the cradle. Let's outnumber these English people. Let's have tons and tons of kids, and we'll just outnumber them. So they still have the power and the money, but we're just so numerous that we can just do what we want. And eventually, that's kind of what happened.
And so according to Robert Perreault, what French Canadians refer to as la survivance was a mindset carried to their new home.
The idea was that the French language was connected to the Catholic faith. The two worked hand in hand. There's another saying, qui perd sa langue perd sa foi. He who loses his language loses his faith. Well, they didn't want to lose those two, and plus their traditions, their culture, and all. So when they came here to work in the mills, they had this idea that they were not going to become assimilated. They were going to live in their own neighborhoods and continue in an urban industrial setting, the same life that they had had in a rural agricultural setting.
And so that's what they did in places like Suncook, Berlin, and on the west side of Manchester. There were French parochial schools, French hospitals, French-only newspapers. And the biggest drivers of La Survivance were the curés, or French Catholic priests. NHTI history professor Stu Wallace.
The curés were almost like a big city boss in a sense. They're not just the religious figure who runs the community, but they're the ones who will answer the needs of their parishioners. And they're going to be organizers behind insurance companies, sports teams, social clubs, benevolent clubs. There were a lot of benevolent organizations out there to help workers in ethnic groups because there's no other support group. If you're injured at work, there's no workers' comp. And so these benevolent groups, which were ethnic in nature, would step in and try to help the member of your community who was injured or out of work or whatever.
Perhaps the most influential of all these curés was Monsignor Pierre Hevey, assigned to St. Marie's Parish on the west side of Manchester in the late 1800s. John Clayton.
Monsignor Pierre Hevey had a tremendous sense of foresight in terms of how he could serve his flock. Yes, they built a magnificent church, but he knew that there were needs that the church itself could not meet.
So he created St. Peter's Orphanage for the Franco-American children and Notre Dame de l'Or, its hospital. But probably Father Hevey was best known for starting the nation's first credit union, right in Manchester, New Hampshire. Originally, it was called La Caisse Populaire Sainte-Marie, and later it changed its name to St. Mary's Bank. The year was 1908, and Father Hevey had heard about a new movement of banking going on in Quebec, started by a man named Alphonse Desjardins. So he brought Desjardins down to speak to his parishioners.
Now, if you give workers an easy access to a reservoir of funds with easy interest and payment terms, it changes everything. The cooperative association is not one of capital funds, but of people. Each member, regardless of his contribution in capital, is on a perfectly equal footing with all of his fellow members. That is to say, each has but a single vote.
That night, 102 members joined La Caisse Populaire Sainte-Marie. More than a century later, St. Mary's Bank is still going strong. To learn more about the development of the credit union, I spoke with St. Mary's CEO, Ron Covey.
So before St. Mary's Bank, what were options that immigrants could do with the money that they earned from the mills?
Probably one of the biggest options they had was hide it inside their house. And as the old saying goes, under their mattress. But back then, there were also a lot of fires. There wasn't the safety. They could join a bank, but back at those times, the banks were very particular. And they weren't overly interested in taking deposits that were nominal amounts of money for people that, just didn't have a whole lot to save. And they certainly weren't interested in lending money because these people had just immigrated here. They had no credit history. They had no established roots to speak of. They were just laborers. So they found it very difficult getting loans at other financial institutions. And that was probably the biggest challenge that they had, even more than, taking deposits, was finding somebody that would lend them the money, that would believe in them.
And how much did its direct affiliation with a church influence people to join?
I think the church gave the credit union a place to organize with an instant amount of parishioners that would come here. And it also gave that sense of trust in giving your hard-earned money to somebody in an organization and understanding how it worked. And I think the church gave it that credibility that it needed. And trust was a big factor. They were handing over money they worked very hard for. And when you see the room that you're coming into and you're just writing it down in a ledger, talk about faith and trust in somebody. It was before you had deposit insurance that was going to insure your deposits or anything else. You were handing your money over to somebody hoping to get it back. And so I think that helped an awful lot in the trust factor.
So moving ahead nearly 100 years, what role does the immigrant and the refugees play with St. Mary's Bank?
It's changed quite a bit over 100 years, where we were predominantly French-Canadian back in the early part of the 1900s. And in fact, up until recently, if you went to our ATM machines, you could choose from having the screen in English or in French. But added to that, as Manchester has changed, and we have probably over 40 different nationalities in Manchester, so has St. Mary's. And we have tellers and branches now that specifically cater to different nationalities. In our Daniel Webster Highway office, a fair amount of Polish, and a couple of tellers that speak Polish. Of course, on the west side here, French is still spoken all the time. In Nashua, because our branch is located really in the inner city, we have immigrants from all over that have migrated to that part of Nashua. And as we've gotten that population, we have employees that speak those languages or are from those countries that are immigrants themselves. And so we keep up on that basis.
Ron Covey, thank you so much for talking with me.
Keith, thank you very much. I really enjoyed this.